Hi there, it's Matt here, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're going to speak about sleep and menopause. Menopause, as you may know, is a natural biological process, and it is marked by the cessation of menstruation and the end of reproductive capacity. It typically occurs in women between the age of, depending on the data, somewhere between 45 and 55, and it brings with it a range of physical and emotional symptoms. One of the most significant and impactful of these symptoms is disrupted sleep. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into understanding the relationship between menopause and sleep, its implications, the underlying mechanisms, and some of the strategies to manage these issues. Let's start with how common sleep problems are in menopause. Well, whether you look at survey data, things like the survey done by the National Sleep Foundation in 2007, or if you look at scientific data ranging from community surveys to clinical studies of insomnia in these populations, or you look at larger retrospective or even prospective population-based studies of menopause symptoms, what you find is that somewhere between 30 to 40% of women will report sleep difficulties during that time period. Whether that number is actually significantly larger, it doesn't really matter, because what we know is that the burden is non-trivial. Imagine that one out of every three women that you pass on the street going through menopause is struggling with getting anything like a good, consistent night of sleep. It is an undeniable and it's a pressing issue. So why does it happen? What are the physiological reasons underlying sleep disruption in menopause? For those who are struggling with sleep, one recommendation I've offered in the past is meditation. Now, I was a complete skeptic at first. I thought it was all just, you know, a little bit out there. But the data for restoring sleep was so strong. So I tried it. And that was 7 years ago. And I've been meditating for 10 minutes before bed every night since. The app I've been using is called Calm, and I decided to partner with them here. And Calm have agreed to offer a full 40% off its premium subscription to you, the listeners of this good podcast. So to get that 40% off, just go to calm.com/Matt Walker. And that is calm.com/Matt Walker. And you will get 40% off your subscription. So again, that's calm.com/Matt Walker. Currently, our understanding falls into two broad categories, although more are emerging, and these are not mutually exclusive. Both can be occurring and both are often occurring. The first is hormonal changes. The second is what we call hot flashes. Let's start with the hormonal changes. Estrogen and progesterone are two primary hormones that see significant fluctuations and changes during that menopause transition. Why is this interesting? Well, estrogen has been found to promote sleep by the enhancing effects on a neurotransmitter called serotonin. And serotonin helps regulate sleep. And with that drop in estrogen levels comes a sleep disturbance that can ensue because of the alteration of serotonin. Progesterone, on the other hand, is a hormone that actually has sedative properties. And its decline can also contribute to the sleep issues. So for example, some studies have revealed that estrogen levels can drop as low as 40 picograms per milliliter during menopause. And that, to give you some frame of reference, is compared to levels ranging from somewhere between 120 and 350 picograms per milliliter during the menstrual cycle. So that is a significant drop that occurs in estrogen. Now, I mentioned that estrogen plays a role in sleep regulation by way of its effects on serotonin, but it also has another indirect pathway. And that is the role of estrogen in terms of regulating body temperature. And of course, as we've spoken about many times on this show, it is temperature that also helps regulate the sleep-wake cycle. So when you think about these two issues, that you have a drop in estrogen, which can drop serotonin and therefore make the promotion, the generation of this thing called sound sleep a challenge, together with the lack of progesterone and its nice sedating effects, no wonder it is hard for women going through menopause to initiate mechanism is hot flashes. These hot flashes are part of what we call the vasomotor symptoms of menopause, which is just a fancy combination set of words describing changes in the regulation of blood flow and blood vasculature. And it is that blood flow and the blood flow dynamics of the vasculature that regulate temperature both within and across the body. And when you look at the data, what we find is that up to 85% of menopausal women experience hot flashes, and somewhere between 40 to 60% of the women who do experience hot flashes report that these episodes are a major factor that markedly disrupts their sleep. Why does it disrupt their sleep? Well, for two reasons. First is that temperature, as we mentioned, is key to regulating sleep. And in our previous podcasts on sleep and temperature, you'll remember that I told you that we have to cool down and stay cool to fall asleep and then stay asleep. And when you're experiencing these hot flashes, almost if you want a reference point, like trying to sleep on a very hot night, it disrupts your ability both to either fall asleep or stay asleep. The second reason that hot flashes have a sleep consequence is night sweats. And they can result in a drenching sweat that accompanies the hot flashes at night. And that drenching sweat is sensed by the body, waking the brain up, and that can lead to additional sleep problems. And as I mentioned, so far what we found is that the declining levels of estrogen are directly linked to the frequency and the severity of those hot flashes, which in turn predicts the challenges with sleep, meaning that the drop in estrogen causes sleep punishment on two different levels. First, it affects sleep directly by estrogen's role in serotonin regulation of sleep, and then indirectly by way of these hot flashes causing awakenings and thermal dysregulation of sleep control. So far, you may have noticed that I've been using a generic term of sleep disruption or sleep disturbance in menopause. But let me get very specific about the different types of sleep disruption caused by menopause. There are essentially four types of sleep impairment that are associated with the transition. And not all women will experience all of these. Any one woman may experience one of these or some combination of the four. A sponsor of today's show is Inside Tracker, which is a service that comes out to your home and they will analyze your blood and your DNA to know precisely what is going on inside of you. Hence the name, Inside Tracker. They look at your blood, your metabolic signals, your hormonal health metrics, and then they give you a personalized, actionable set of lifestyle changes in response to that readout. And the goal there is to improve your health. I was looking and informed they have some new cardiovascular and new hormonal biomarkers that I'm particularly interested in. One that I'm focused on is something called ApoB, which is an absolutely critical heart health measure. And I get it done now with them somewhere between 4 to 6 times a year. Why? Well, my family, unfortunately, has a strong history of cardiovascular disease, so I am checking that pretty ruthlessly. And by the way, I do buy the product myself out of pocket. I don't want to fall prey to any of those trappings and undue incentives. Although, with full admission, I still use my own discount code that you can use to get some money off. And that code for you is insidetracker.com/Matt Walker. So just go over to insidetracker.com/Matt Walker. And again, if you want to get that discount, it is insidetracker.com/Matt Walker. Thanks very much. And the four are as follows. The first is insomnia, characterized either by difficulty falling asleep, difficulty staying asleep, or waking up too early. Beyond insomnia, the second issue that we see in terms of sleep disruption is something called sleep disordered breathing, and specifically sleep apnea. Now again, on this series, I've done a whole entire podcast on sleep apnea, and that's where you get significant disruption of the airway, even closure of the airway. It causes snoring, it can cause you to stop breathing. It is really a devastating condition with non-trivial consequences. And what we've discovered is that the decline in estrogen levels can lead to the loss of the muscle tone in the upper airway that normally keeps your airway open as you're sleeping. And as a result, it can increase the risk of obstructive sleep apnea. And that's that condition where you get snoring or breathing stops temporarily and entirely during sleep. The third issue with sleep concerns restless leg syndrome. Now, this is a sleep disorder that I have, I sound like a broken record, that I've also done an entire podcast on. You can listen to that if you want to learn more about it. But some women going through menopause, not all of them, but some will develop this condition called restless leg syndrome, which is an experience of very uncomfortable sensations in the legs, and it compels them to move. And as a consequence, that sensation interferes with your ability to either fall asleep or certainly to stay asleep. The fourth and final issue concerns specific sleep stages. Although modest in the number, there are several studies describing selective impairments in REM sleep caused by menopause. This in part may be due to the hot flashes, since REM sleep regulation, perhaps as much, if not more than even deep non-REM sleep, is very sensitive to temperature. And there's importance here. Considering the key role that REM sleep plays in regulating and rebalancing our emotions and our moods, these deficits in REM sleep caused by the hot flashes during menopause may be a contributing factor to the recognized emotional and mental health challenges that women face when they're going through this transition. So that's underlying mechanisms as well as sleep-specific consequences. Now, let's turn to treatments, or I should really say attempts at management. The first approach is called hormone replacement therapy. Before I describe the data, let me say this. The topic of HRT in women, I know, can be a lightning rod issue. I don't have a horse in that race, and I respect everyone's opinion and their own choices. All I would offer on this issue is the following. My dear friend Dr. Peter Attia has spoken a lot about female hormone replacement therapy and the data around that topic and any of the data regarding concerns about HRT on his podcast and also in his blog posts. And if you're interested, I would gently offer the suggestion of reading a post that he wrote, a blog post called Clearing the Air on HRT. Coming back to this podcast, coming back to sleep, we mentioned how deleterious the disruptions to estrogen and progesterone are caused by menopause in terms of their direct influence on sleep, as well as their indirect impacts. And so by rebalancing those hormones with hormone replacement therapy, what we often see are sleep improvements. And whilst there are some inconsistencies in the literature regarding the absolute efficacy of HRT in terms of sleep, the majority overall are very positive. And there are some great studies by incredible sleep researchers in my field, folks like Jackie Monplaisier, Rachel Member, Colin Espy, Susan Redline, and many, many others. And I'll describe the results not in terms of just what they found, but also across all of the studies. I'll try to give you a sense of what was found to be a big effect, what was a modest effect, and one that had some limited or at least equivocal data. And here, there are four groups of findings regarding the impact of hormone replacement therapy on sleep disruption in menopause. The first are improvements in sleep quality. Numerous studies have consistently reported that HRT, hormone replacement therapy, improves sleep quality and improves it both subjectively, meaning that which the patients are actually telling the researchers, and objectively, meaning in sleep recording measures themselves. The second set of benefits is reduced nighttime awakenings. Hormone replacement therapy has consistently been shown to decrease the frequency of nighttime awakenings. And as a result, it improves the efficiency of sleep, the continuity of sleep. The third change concerns sleep architecture. A number of studies have indicated that HRT, and in particular estradiol, seems to solidify and improve the normal architecture of sleep. And as a result, that can lead to increases in the amount of deep sleep. The final component is on sleep apnea or sleep disordered breathing, as I said. And here, at least to date, there seems to have been only a moderate effect of HRT on sleep apnea. Some studies have reported benefits to sleep apnea and others did not. The other supporter of this podcast is the electrolyte drink company called Element. Now, it's actually four letters, L-M-N-T. I am a bit of an exercise fanatic, and I started buying their products some years ago, really, because of two key facts. First is the lack of sugar content. Element has no sugar. It also has no colorings, no artificial ingredients, which is unlike many of the other mixes out there that I was shopping. The second is because of the founders, who have some serious years of biochemistry experience under their belts, and they know what they're doing. So if you want to give it a try, just go to drinklmnt.com/Matt Walker, and you will get 8 free sample packs on any order that you place. Once again, that is drinklmnt.com/Matt Walker. Considering that there may be some discussion or thoughts around HRT, what about other treatment approaches? Well, I'll start with medications. Again, for the record, I am not a medical doctor. I am not offering prescriptive medical advice, but rather descriptive scientific data. But the first approach has typically involved, in terms of medications, classic or current day sleeping pills, things called the benzodiazepines or the Z drugs. And the Z drugs, like Ambien, because its generic name is called Zolpidem, and lots of the other classic or current sleep medications begin with a Z, hence they're called the Z drugs. And there is some data showing that short-term treatment with these drugs, lasting somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks, can be effective at improving some of the sleep problems during menopause. For example, there have been studies with the drug Ambien showing that it can increase total sleep time and decrease the number of times that women wake up during the night during that menopausal period. However, And I've spoken a lot about these drugs, and I've also written about them in a wee little book that I wrote. These sleeping pills do typically have side effects. They can cause concerns for falls, and they need to be used very carefully. Also, modern day medicine only recommends these types of drugs to be used on a temporary, a short-term basis. So what else? Well, there is melatonin. And again, I've spoken a lot about melatonin on this show and some of the non-trivial concerns and limitations around melatonin, specifically around over-the-counter melatonin. That said, a select few small studies have shown melatonin to mildly improve sleep and also mood in women going through menopause. But I should note, by the way, that in those studies, they were using medically prescribed slow-release formulation of melatonin. That was not the over-the-counter melatonin for the concerns that I've mentioned above and previously elsewhere out in the public. Another medication approach that's been used is a drug called gabapentin. I spoke about gabapentin on this show during the episode on restless leg syndrome. And studies have found that somewhere doses between 300 to 900 milligrams can reduce the severity of the hot flashes. And some of those studies have demonstrated reductions by up to 60%. Just keep in mind that gabapentin can have some side effects like drowsiness, including during the day. So keep that in mind. Drugs aside, let me come on, however, to the strongest data and recommendation by sleep medicine, which is a non-drug therapy that we've also done podcasts on before called Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Insomnia, or CBTI. Anyone who is a regular listener to this show will have heard a lot about CBTI and how it works. And here, the data are really quite robust. CBTI improves sleep problems in women going through menopause. CBTI, I should note, it's not a cure-all, but it is without side effects, unlike many of these medications, and it has good scientific justification. So there you have it. A short overview of sleep and menopause. Bottom line, society needs to recognize the very real impact of menopause, including the sleep disruption. And we need to find better ways to support women, and that includes both doctor and patient education regarding these sleep problems. Also, about the administration of the right treatments for these sleep problems. And even improving and enhancing a greater workplace understanding of the challenges of menopause. And with that, I will bid you my good night. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening again to the show. It means so much to me. It really does. Take care and bye for now.